Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. When I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So if you too are mad about Mickey, well, this is the podcast for you. Or maybe you're the Disney novice, currently just thinking or planning your first ever trip to Walt Disney World, and you thought that Batu was a meat-free alternative. Well, then this really is the podcast for you. Every week, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans from around the UK to share their memories, their magical times, and some top tips. And this week, we'll catch up with Nick, who's got a great suggestion of something to do at Magic Kingdom on a busy day to keep the kids entertained.
And the kids absolutely loved it. It's really good when you're passing time, if there's queues or you can just walk around, take a bit of a detour around places, and it is really, really cool.
Also going to be answering your Walt Disney World questions, get the latest news from the parks, got some more of your Disney Plus recommendations, and later on, I'm going to tell you how to get the highest score on Toy Story Mania. And make sure you keep in touch with us as well. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, we are at Pod Magical. This is the most magical podcast on earth as part of the Secret Recordings Network on the week that Disney Springs finally starts to slowly reopen over in Orlando. We can still dream and start making plans for our visits from here in the UK. And if you have got any planning questions, do send them over. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Pod Magical. You can just DM me and I'll do my best to try and answer them. Got a couple of food related questions here, including this one from Kev, who wants to know, what do you think, Andy, is the best restaurant to go to on your first night of the holiday? Now, this is a tricky one because I would say flying from the UK on your first night of the holiday, I would not book into a restaurant. I have done this before. In fact, I went to Sanaa when I was staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge a few years ago because I love Sanaa and I love the bread service. But after that long flight and you're so tired and you just haven't got an appetite and it just seemed like a waste. We were on the dining plan and it just seemed like a waste of a credit because even though the food was amazing, I was just so tired and I wasn't hungry. The answer to your question in terms of the restaurant to go to on the first night is... don't book. Maybe go to a quick service restaurant. If you've got a nice quick service over at Animal Kingdom Lodge, Satouli Canteen is quite good, or Docking Bay 7 over at Hollywood Studios in Star Wars, or maybe just getting a hot dog at Magic Kingdom, or maybe fish and chips at Epcot. I go quick service. I wouldn't book into a restaurant for a very first night because after all that flying and the jet lag, it's just not worth it. If that's what you meant by first night of the holiday. Hi to Andy. Oh, another Andy here. First trip, we love the podcast and we've been getting some top tips and we are currently undecided if we should upgrade from the quick service dining plan to pay for the full dining plan. Again, I don't mean to like ruin your dreams. I think if it's a first ever trip, do a couple of restaurants. Book in for a couple of restaurants that you really want to go to. You know, first time is you probably want to go and dine in the castle if you can get in, fingers crossed. You want to go and be our guest or maybe Chef Mickey's, maybe book in a character meal. I wouldn't book too many for a first trip because then you're too tied to restaurant reservations like every day. So quick service dining plan is great. In fact, the very first time I went on the dining plan, we just did quick service dining plan. We were there for 2 weeks and it wasn't until about 10 days into the trip that we actually started spending money. Because obviously when you're on the quick service dining plan, you've got your snacks, you've got your food and you don't have to tip and we haven't bought anything. So that's quite a good thing to do, especially if it's free, if you've got free dining, if that comes up. For a first trip, I would go quick service, but maybe pick one or two restaurants, the popular ones that you really want to go to, but don't tie yourself down with having too many restaurant reservations. I hope that helps. If you have got any questions, let me know. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pod Magical is where we are. And if you'd like to be a podcast guest, if you're sitting at home doing nothing and you love talking about Walt Disney World, you want to be on the podcast, it's very easy to do. You do it from the comfort of your own home. Don't worry about the technical things. I don't come round to your house or anything like that. It's all done virtually. We could Zoom it if you want, or we could Skype it if you want. There are ways and means of getting you on the podcast. If you want to come on, show your memories, show your tips, give me a shout at Pod Magical, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, which is what Nick did. And he's this week's podcast guest. So let's dig deep into your Walt Disney World memories, Nick. But first of all, tell me why you love Walt Disney World.
Absolutely everything. Just how immersive it is. As soon as we fly into Orlando International, you can get on the Magical Express. And as soon as you get on there, you're in Disney, in my eyes. You get like little quiz shows on the TV, little Disney short films to watch to keep you entertained. And it's just amazing. It just everything about Disney, I love it all.
But that bus is a very different feeling when it's taking you back to the airport, the Tragic Express.
Yeah, it's depressing. But yeah, no, it is all part of it. I do love it. And you're still going out, if you've never been before, you kind of have questions on there and you're like, I have no idea what that is. And on the way back, you're like, yeah, I know that. And I know that. And I know that. And you seem to become this Disney expert on the
return.
It's
like a test.
Yeah. How much did you learn?
So the first time you ever went to Walt Disney World, Nick, tell me about it.
So the first time I went in 2016. And my kids at the time were 6 and 7 year old. So we stayed at the Caribbean Beach in one of the pirate rooms, which was really good. Although, to be fair, we didn't spend a huge amount of time in the room. But for my 7 year old boy, when he walked in and the beds were pirate ships, they were absolutely fantastic. And I'm an American football fan. And we had like a 50 inch TV on the wall. So that were great when everyone was tired and worn out at the end of the day. I could just put the TV on and watch a bit of American football and just relax. It was great for everyone. It was great.
But I believe you've also been during a hurricane.
Yes, in 2019. So September just gone, there was Hurricane Dorian and it was making landfall. We arrived on the Saturday and it was set to hit on the Wednesday. But it was a really bizarre situation because as we were arriving, American residents, I'm assuming for like the Orlando area, were checking out. So we were checking in as they were checking out, which was really bizarre.
And they were escaping.
They were escaping and we're like, this is great. Because the parks were empty. Like, we weren't queuing for anything. We had fast passes for things like Flight of Passage, Toy Story Mania, and we didn't actually use them. We could just, the queue was that short, we didn't need to use the fast pass. We had them, but we didn't use them. We just walked straight in. They didn't even open the fast pass lines because it was just so quiet and they were absolutely
great.
Wow.
I do remember seeing that like last year when I was looking on wait times because it was like, the park, people started emptying out. It was a few days before the park actually closed, wasn't it? So the first few days of your holiday, you're obviously like, it was like having the parks to yourself.
Yeah. The bizarre part is it was 2 days, we landed 2 days after Galaxy's Edge opened, the new Star Wars. So we were expecting peak crowds because of that. But because the hurricane came at that time, it was still dead quiet. So we were like experiencing Galaxy's Edge when we were expecting really big crowds, and it wasn't. It was so chilled and it was really good because we just got to like take it all in first time, which were great.
And how long were the parks actually closed for? Because they did close for like, was it about a day or was it two?
Half a day. We were allowed in on the morning of the Wednesday, but they kicked us out at like 2-3 o'clock. And then everyone had to go back to the hotel and we stayed in the Port Orleans Riverside this time, another moderate resort. But we had the food court was shut down, so normally you have different choice of pizza, burgers, pasta, everything, and it was just literally like a sandwich bag that they were giving everyone. It was like ham sandwich, which my son's a bit of a fussy eater, he didn't appreciate that, but yeah. So it was a quiet night, but the hurricane actually hit overnight, and at the last, I'd say the last 12-24 hours, it actually took a swing, so it went more up the coast of Orlando rather than mainland. So we escaped it, and it all happened overnight. So on the Wednesday morning when we woke up, everything were all sorted, and you wouldn't even know that it hit.
So really, I mean, you didn't lose half a day because of the fact that there was nobody else there. You probably gained days, really, in realistic terms of like not queuing for rides.
In times, yeah, definitely. 100%. The day after it hit, we went to Animal Kingdom and we had a morning reservation at Tusker House with the characters that were absolutely fantastic. That were at 8 a.m. and we didn't leave Animal Kingdom till 9 p.m. So we did 13 hours solid in Animal Kingdom and we just we walked on Flight of Passage 3 times and everything. We didn't need to queue for anything because it wasn't even a really hot day either. It was really like cool, but not hot, but not too hot. It was
even for September.
Yeah, even for September was great. But the following days after that, the hottest I've ever experienced in my life, because I'm assuming this hurricane took the weather system with it. So hot. It was we were coming back to the pool, which I actually advise people to do anyway. About 2 o'clock, we nipped out of the parks for probably about 2 hours, 2.5 hours, just went by the pool, had a bit of relax before going back in for all the nighttime entertainment.
Because that's the hottest time of the day, but that's also the time that if you're going to get that storm in the afternoon. It's usually around 2-3-ish, isn't it?
Yeah, and if you're already in a pool, you're going to get wet anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, you're already wet. We're laughing. Let's talk about some of your favourite memories then from Walt Disney World that don't involve being there during a hurricane, although it apparently is the safest place to be during a hurricane in Orlando.
It seems pretty safe.
Disney hotels. A lot of people will move into there during a hurricane because it's safer than their own house.
Our neighbour, shall we say, had a dog, and I've never seen any animals, but their dog was actually in their room. They were permitted to have a dog in the room. So there were that many people walking the dogs up and down. I've never seen dogs in Disney World before.
Where'd they come from?
And there were dogs.
Apart from Pluto.
Well, yeah, apart from Pluto, obviously. But favourite memory, when we went, they do like a Star Wars show at Hollywood Studios. I think they've stopped it now, but it was just in front, just as you walk up the main street Hollywood Studios, and they did a Star Wars show. And my daughter, being the unique little girl that she is, didn't want to be a princess, didn't want to be Belle or anyone, despite her name being Belle. She didn't want to be Belle. She didn't want to be any of the others. She wanted to be Rey from Star Wars. But Disney don't have Rey costumes in the park. So we had to go to Target to buy her one. So we managed to get one. Right. And she stood there watching the show dressed as Rey. And as the cast members and Rey herself was walking back, I'm assuming, to the little underground tunnels they have in places, I don't know. Ray stepped out of line and spotted my daughter and come and give her a hug and had a quick 2-second chat with her, and my daughter's face just lit up. She's normally quite a loud-mouthed little girl, and she was so quiet. She was speechless. It was absolutely fantastic. Best thing that's happened while we've been there.
We'll have to get, because you've got that on video, haven't you? So we'll put that on socials and we can have a look at that. We'll share that magic moment with you as well.
Definitely.
Let's talk about some of your favourite things at Walt Disney World. Have you got a favourite attraction?
My favourite attraction, I love Flight of Passage. And when we went in 2016, Soarin' was my number one. And Flight of Passage is like Soarin' tenfold. It's just it is amazing.
Soaring on steroids.
Yeah, that's it. It's next level. Like, at first I didn't realize there was other people that if on Flight Passage, you know, if you don't want to ruin the experience, don't do this, but if you look to your left or your right when you're on Flight Passage, you can actually see the rows of people.
I always do that.
But I did the first time I did it, I didn't know that, so I thought it was just one thing. And
just one row.
Yeah, and you just go in. But then someone told me, if you look to the left, you'll see everyone. And I did. And they were like, I can't believe how many people were there. It was unbelievable. Yeah. But
massive screen.
Yeah, but our family ride, the one that all the kids and the wife and everyone look, is Test Track in Epcot, just for a bit of a thrill. They like the design in the car bit beforehand, and then the speed bit at the end, and then going and sitting in the actual Chevrolet cars that they all have out at the end.
Yeah, and you can all sit in on it together as well, I suppose, can't you?
Yeah, yeah, it's really good.
It's one of those few rides that we can all just get on together.
Yeah.
And I believe your kids like doing is it the Keys to the Kingdom, is it called, at Magic Kingdom?
Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom.
Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom. Yeah, Keys to the Kingdom's a tour, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. If you
So Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom.
It's a card game. It's a little bit geeky, but it is really good. I've actually got one here. So one that I've got in my hand at the moment is Gopher's Demolition Dynamite. So it's from the gopher from Bambi. And you use these cards, and they have they're like portals around Magic Kingdom. And you start off at the firehouse on Main Street, just as you go into the park, and you can get a packet of 6 cards every day. And you go to these portals and the little story, and you have to defeat villains. So I think you start with Hades or Ursula, and they're all hidden around, and you get a map. So it's a bit like a treasure hunt as well. And the kids absolutely loved it. It's really good when you're passing time. If there's queues or things like that, you can just walk around, take a bit of a detour around places, and it is really, really cool. So and it's free. So that's always a bonus.
And it's free. We love free. Nick is our podcast guest this week. We'll find out about your favourite Disney World restaurants, because I know there's a bit of family division at the moment. And don't forget, if you're enjoying these podcasts, you want to take a little bit of a break from planning your next Disney holiday, then why not have a listen to some of the other podcasts from the Secret Recordings Network, like The Secret World of Slimming Clubs. This is where 3 girls take you behind the doors of slimming clubs. Now, this is definitely, it's not a diet podcast, and there's definitely a lot of talk about food, including Joe's trip to Walt Disney World, where, of course, we all know calories don't count. Place your bets now on how much weight you think she put on during a 2-week trip. Have a look for The Secret World of Slimming Clubs from wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're digging deep into Disney Plus and you found any great recommendations, we've got a Disney Plus recommendation of the week every week on the podcast. This week, hi to Greg McCann, who sent me a message about this program. Also as well, I had a DM from Emma, also mentioned from Ryan. On Disney Plus, look for Prop Culture. This is what Greg says. An incredible mix of emotions when people are reunited with items that have been used on some classic films. Emma says she watched the Mary Poppins, which is the first episode. It's very emotional. You actually also get to see inside Walt's actual office where they wrote songs for Mary Poppins like Feed the Birds and the actual piano. So if you are into behind the scenes of movies, especially Disney films, have a look for Prop Culture on Disney Plus. That's our recommendation of the week. If you have got a recommendation, something that you have found on Disney Plus, not the obvious things like Mandalorian and Imagineering Story, if you've really dug deep and there's a great film that you've found, or you've been watching a TV show and you're going, hang on, that was filmed at Walt Disney World, share it with me. Maybe there is something that reminds you of an attraction at Walt Disney World. Let us know what to watch. Just you give me a shout. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pod Magical is where we are. Same place to go to be a podcast guest like this week's guest, Nick. Where we are back to talking about food and your favourite restaurant, Nick.
My favourite is Teppanyaki in the Japan Pavilion at Epcot. It's like show cooking. The big metal plate, they have a chef come and they... I had steak and shrimp, I think it was, and it was fantastic. But they have like... make snowmen out of onions and volcanoes and things like that. The kids absolutely loved it. That's definitely my favourite. But my wife and my daughter do love Be Our Guest. Just... purely for the ambience, just the way it's
all
designed.
Being in the castle, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, but food-wise for me, Teppanyaki. But everywhere's great. You can't really complain with food anywhere.
When you go to the Teppanyaki in Epcot, do they sit you? Because it looks like you're sitting around the chef. Do you have to sit with other families?
Yes, there's 8 people seated around. So we were a family of 4, so we took up half, and we were actually paired with 2 couples of 2. One of them was from Northern England, like us, so we were... kind of on the same way than the other two were
bonded.
Southern England, they were Instagrammers, so everything were pictures, which I'm not that kind of guy, but right, each to their own. So if you can get a good crowd there, you can have a really good thing. But you do sometimes get the feeling of, am I impeding on their meal? Like, I don't want to be like a bit overbearing and ruin what they want, especially when it's a couple and they might just want something a little bit more romantic, you know. And I've got my kids running around shouting, and so you never know. But no, it's definitely worth it.
So you won the dining plan last time you went then?
Yes, we actually upgraded it. We originally got the quick service dining plan, but we upgraded it to the table service. We had 1 table service, 1 quick service and 3 snacks a day, which is far too much. I actually come home and it took my stomach about 3 days. I think it was shrinking because I just had stomach ache from it just like going back to not eating a ridiculous amount of food all the time.
So you had the quick service was in for free and then you just paid for the upgrade to regular dining plan?
Yeah.
So when did you book? How do you usually book? Do you book the whole package or do you book things separately?
No, we tend to book the accommodation and tickets and the dining plan, everything through Disney World Direct on their website. That they normally release it around April.
So it should have been now, I think. Yeah.
But we do that and then we book the flights a bit later on because they don't tend to release them for a year. So we tend to book the Disney hotel because we can book that then and you can just pay little bits off here and then. So if it's like £100 here, £200 there, whatever. And we also ask, rather than birthday presents, I get my parents to pay a bit off of that and so on, just help chip away at it. And you don't feel it as much because you've got like 18 months to sometimes nearly 2 years to pay for that bit. And it doesn't seem as much of a chunk of money.
Not as much of a hit. Yeah. How often do you go? Are you family who will go every year or do you like to go every other year?
I'm the Disney fanatic. I would go every year. The bank won't let me, but I would go every year. But what we're trying to do is really like every 3 years. Because I think if you go every year, it is good, but you get it gets a bit same. The rides aren't as exciting and there's not enough change. We went in 2016 and when we went then, there was no Flight of Passage, there was no Galaxy's Edge, there was no Toy Story Land. So all that, when we went this time in 2019, was all there, was all new.
It was all new.
We still got that excitement and that magical feel of, wow, this is new, this is amazing, because it was just something different.
So who's the planner in your family? How do you do planning, especially with having 2 kids? How do you work around that?
I'm the planner, and I watch right. YouTube videos after YouTube videos. We have a dog, and I'm the dog walker. So as I walk the dog, I'm walking and watching Disney Food Blog or Tim Tracker or these other bloggers, and I'll come home and go, did you know this? Did you know this?
And always picking up the tips.
I get told off because I get told that I'm ruining the magic because I know so much information that I'm ruining it before you've got there.
You know, too much.
Yeah.
Do you like to venture outside Disney as well, or do you just tend to stay on Disney's property?
The last time we just stayed in Disney on property, first time we went in 2016, because we'd planned it a bit further in advance, we booked Universal as well, and we also did Discovery Cove. So my suggestion is, if you've got the money to do so and you want to do that kind of thing, Discovery Cove is a great getaway from the theme park life. We got there, I think you get there about 7 o'clock. Your breakfast is included, drinks are included, your lunch is included. You can choose to swim with dolphins or without, but there's not a vast amount of difference in cost. But you can just sit on, like, it's like a beach, saying it's like Sandy Beach. You can just sit there. They've got a big lazy river, and you can just unwind a little bit and just revitalize yourself. We did it smack bang in the middle of our first trip. So we went for 15 days our first time. So we did it after day 7. So for the second half of the holiday, we felt a bit more revitalized because we just had that little bit of a break.
Just like a little tropical paradise, isn't it? Just a secluded paradise.
Yeah, and you get a 14-day SeaWorld ticket as well with that. So you can go and visit SeaWorld afterwards if you want to.
Now, I believe your Disney obsession it continues when you get home, when it comes to shopping. Tell me about your little project that you've set up.
So everyone goes to Disney and there's so many things in the shops that you just want. And both times I've been, I've had to buy an extra suitcase because we have done the Not So Scary Halloween and come back with so much candy, I've needed another suitcase for it.
Yeah, suitcase full. Still eating it.
Yeah, that's the one. But I can't buy the other things. So like spirit jerseys and things like that, they cost a bit of money and you don't always have it there. You don't want to overspend while you're over there. But if you come back home and want to do it, the shipping costs and the taxes and the customs, everything are so high. It's unbelievable. Yeah. So I set up a website called magic2yourdoor.co.uk. We consolidate lots of orders. We do an order once a month and we bring it all over. So there's only one shipping cost and it's split between multiple people. So that way you're not paying off as much.
So have you got any more trips planned? I suppose at the minute it's really difficult to, but
it is difficult. Have you got anything? I have a friend who's going in 2021 and he's pressuring me to go in 2021, which won't take a lot of pressure in. But I'm waiting for the Disney dining plan to come, like I say, because I think it's supposed to be coming around now. And without it, it's a little bit more expensive. I like having everything paid before I get there. Yeah. So I'm waiting for that to come along. And if it does, then I'll probably book it and see how it goes. But I'm not too sure what's happening with it, obviously, with the situation and with it being the 50th anniversary next year. I don't know if they'll hold off on it or whether it'll just be
I'm like, will they do free dining this year? Because we're probably going to have so many people who've already booked for this year and now they're going to have to move to next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm not 100%. So if it does go ahead next year, then I'll probably jump on that. If not, I'll wait another year. But I do want to ride Tron. I don't know whether it's worth waiting another year to make sure I get on Tron, because obviously all the construction on that's suspended now.
It's supposed to be ready for the 50th.
Yes.
But the 50th is actually only in October. So will they start the 50th celebrations in October and then make them go through 2022? That's what I'm thinking.
I could call with that.
21 and 22.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Yeah. Lovely talking to you. You stay safe and have a magical day.
You too. Thank you very much.
If you'd like to join me on the podcast one week, you'd love chatting about Walt Disney World, just give me a shout. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. Make sure you give us a like, give us a follow on all of those. And if you want to come on the podcast, just send me a message. We've got some great podcast guests over the next few weeks, by the way. We'll have people talking about the Run Disney events, people who've done that. If you are worried about going to Disney with epilepsy, what rides you can and can't do, we've got a guest who's got epilepsy. We've got a former cast member and we'll be chatting about going backstage behind the scenes at Walt Disney Imagineering. So there's some of the guests we've got coming up over the next few weeks. So if you don't already subscribe to the podcast, then make sure you do that. We've got a brand new podcast coming every Friday. And if you want to be a guest, something you want to talk about, just give me a shout. Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, we are at PodMagical. Just DM me. My top tip of the week this week is how to get the highest score on Toy Story Mania. I've not tried this myself, but I have been told about this. So Toy Story Mania. This is at Hollywood Studios in Andy's backyard. It's a little shooting game, the 3D shooting game. The first scene in the ride when you first go in is the barn. Okay, you'll need to remember this. You might need to rewind this podcast to make notes about this. So first scene in the barn, if you knock the fox off the top of the hen house, you then get some high scoring hens appearing. Then you go for the hens. So first scene, barn, aim for the fox. That gets the hens up, hit the hens. Apparently, that is how you get the highest score on Toy Story Mania. Of course, if you've got any top tips of your own, let me know. We'd love to share them on the podcast. Also, if you've got any good tips for Disney Plus, anything you found on there, you know where we are. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pod Magical. We have a brand new podcast every Friday. Tell your friends, hit that subscribe button. And until next time, please stand clear of the doors.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.